He stared at the little packets in his hand and sighed. As he carefully put them in his jacket pocket, his hand touched something papery. Oh, yes, the SWALK letter. He was about to shove it back when his eye caught sight of the ancient street sign opposite, Lobbin Clout. And as his gaze moved down, it also saw, over the first shop in the narrow street, Number 1, A. Parker and Sons, Greengrocers, High Class Fruit and Vegetables. Well, why not deliver it? He was the postmaster, wasn't he? What harm could it do? He slipped into the shop. A middle-aged man was introducing fresh carrots, or possibly carrots, into the life of a bulky woman with a big shopping bag and hairy warts. "Mr. Antimony Parker," said Moist urgently. "I'll be with you in just one moment, sir. I'm just..." the man began. "I need to know if you are Mr. Antimony Parker, that's all," said Moist. The woman turned to glare at the intruder, and Moist gave her a smile so winning that she blushed and wished just for a moment that she'd worn makeup today. "That's father," said the greengrocer. "He's out the back, tackling a difficult cabbage." "This is his," said Moist, "postal delivery." He put the envelope on the counter and walked quickly out of the shop. Shopkeeper and customer stared down at the pink envelope. "SWALK," said Mr. Parker. "Oh, that takes me back, Mr. Parker," said the woman. "In my day, we used to put that in our letters when we was courting, didn't you? Sealed with a loving kiss. There was SWALK and LANCRE and..." She lowered her voice and giggled. "KLATCH, of course. Remember?" "All that passed me by, Mrs. Goodbody," said the greengrocer stiffly. "And if it means young men are sending our dad pink envelopes with swalk on them, I'm thankful for it. Modern times, eh?" He turned and raised his voice. "Father?" Well, that was a good deed for the day, Moist thought. Or a deed, in any case. It looked as though Mr. Parker had managed to acquire some sons one way or another. Still, it was odd to think of all those letters heaped in that old building. You could imagine them as little packets of history. Deliver them, and history went one way. But if you dropped them in the gap between the floorboards, it went the other. He shook his head. As if one tiny choice by someone unimportant could make that much difference. History had to be a bit tougher than that. It all sprang back eventually, didn't it? He was sure he'd read something somewhere. If it wasn't like that, no one would ever dare do anything. He stood in the little square where eight roads met and chose to go home via Market Street. It was as good a way as any other. When he was sure that both Stanley and the golem were busy on the mail mountains, Mr. Grote crept away through the labyrinth of corridors. Bundles of letters were stacked so high and tightly that it was all he could do to squeeze through. But at last he reached the shaft of the old hydraulic elevator, long disused. The shaft had been filled up with letters. However, the engineer's ladder was still clear, and that at least went up to the roof. Of course, there was the fire escape outside, but that was outside, and Grote was not over keen on going outside at the best of times. He inhabited the post office like a very small snail in a very large shell. He was used to gloom. Now, slowly and painfully, his legs shaking, he climbed up through the floors of mail and forced open the trap door at the top. He blinked and shuddered in the unfamiliar sunlight and hauled himself out onto the flat roof. He'd never really liked doing this, but what else could he have done? Stanley ate like a bird and Grote mostly got by on tea and biscuits, but it all cost money, even if you went round the markets just as they closed up, and somewhere in the past, decades ago, the pay had stopped arriving. Grote had been too frightened to go up to the palace to find out why. He was afraid that if he asked for money, he'd be sacked. So he'd taken to renting out the old pigeon loft. Where was the harm in that? All the pigeons had joined their feral brethren years ago, and a decent shed was not to be sneezed at in this city, even if it did whiff a bit. There was an outside fire escape and everything. It was a little palace compared to most lodgings. Besides, these lads didn't mind the smell, they said. They were pigeon fanciers. Grote wasn't sure what that entailed, except that they had to use a little clax tower to fancy them properly, but they paid up, that was the important thing. He skirted the big rainwater tank for the defunct lift and sidled around the rooftops to the shed where he knocked politely.
It's me, lads.